We may be down a few people this morning. Maybe people took seriously what I said at the end of last week's sermon when I said it was going to sound like I was going to preach a heresy. And so they stayed away because they thought it was going to be, you know, full of heretical sermon this morning. But I am not going to be preaching a heresy, but it's going to sound like it maybe in the beginning. But I am excited about this sermon, not because it's this great sermon that's just going to wow you and knock you out of your pew, but because of the content of the sermon, of the passage. You see, I believe, truly in my heart, I've been looking forward to this passage for weeks now, that this is our moment, our defining moment as individual Christians and as a church. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. You see, almost 2 years ago, we started the Gospel of Luke. And we went all the way through the Gospel of Luke to see who Jesus was, what he taught, and what he did for us, and who he is. And then we went into the book of Acts to understand the formation of the church, where we come from, what it is all about. And then we worked our way into the book of Romans, the doctrines of the church, what we believe and why we believe it. Chapters 1 through 11 have been the doctrines, the core beliefs of our faith. And now in the last five chapters, Paul is going to change direction from teaching us to confronting us. What are we going to do with what we have learned? Who are we going to be? The next five chapters will be personal. Speak right to you. I've entitled this sermon, The Good in Sinful Humanity, where there is, this sounds maybe like a heresy, because we know what the Bible says about humanity. What does the Bible say about humanity? All have sinned. What was the one upstairs? There's nothing good. And that is so true. And we need to share this. The reason there is no one good, no one righteous, Romans 3 lays it out for us. There is none righteous, no, not one. None who understand, none who seek after God. They've all turned aside. We all have. They've all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, the definition of good. The reason none of us are good because none of us meet the definition, the qualification. You might be good compared to some in this world, but you're not good compared to God, who is the measuring rod. Jesus, or God said this, be you perfect even as I am perfect. The good, let me give you a definition of good. The quality of praiseworthy character, moral excellence, which consists of righteousness, holiness, justice, kindness, grace, mercy, and perfect love at all times. That's God. That's God. We might get some of those here and there, but not at all times and in all places. So the Bible is true when it says there's none good, and we need to share that truth. Then if you say, Pastor, well, if that's true, then why is your sermon titled, The Good in Sinful Humanity? Because there still is good. In humanity, we as Christians cannot get to the point where we're just so bashing and beating over the head just the depravity of man. It's there. We need to share it. There's no doubt. But there is some really good, even greatness shown inside of humanity. We all love true stories, especially stories where someone overcomes great odds. They fight, they struggle. We love those kind of stories. Why? Because inside of us, every person, we want to see good triumph evil, justice. And also, we love those stories because we have some hope that maybe we have that potential of being great. I have five stories I want to share with you this morning. They're all true, true stories. And like most good true stories, they've been made into movies. So I have five movie trailers I want you to watch. And as you watch them, I want to ask you to give me words that describe what you just saw, what you're feeling. The first one we're going to watch is a movie, old movie, not real old, but old, a little bit, called Chariots of Fire. About two men, main men, and the two main characters. One, a committed Christian who was a missionary in China. And God had made him fast. And he said, when I run, I feel God. And I can glorify God. And he did. Before the whole world, he set aside a chance, which he was going to win, a gold medal. Because he would not run on Sunday. And it went around the whole world. And of this man's faith. The following couple days later, he won a race he wasn't even supposed to run. And they didn't think he could win. And he ran in the beauty of God. Gave credit to God. He ended up going back to China as a missionary. And he was killed in China while it was occupied by the Japanese during World War II. And then there was another man. He was an Englishman, but he was Jew. And there was prejudice there. And he was trying to prove that he was a good man just like anybody else. He was trying to prove. So let's watch the clip.
We are here today to honor the legend. And remember those few young men with hope in their hearts and wings on their heels.
Dedication. Good. What else? What? Commitment. Yes. What else? Hope. Perseverance. Love that. Anything else? Joy. You saw the one runner. He was smiling. He always ended his race smiling because he was feeling the power of God. He said, come on him. And he would run. What else? Anything? What? Dreams, okay, dreaming for something much better. Exceptionalism. Yeah, there's always something better. We can always be better. Passion. All right, good, good. So we're starting to see that there's some good qualities, isn't there? At moments. The next one. Loyalty. The one, definitely the one. Loyalty to Christ. All right, the next clip is the supposedly the greatest moment in sports history.
Want to hear an amazing story? Back in 1960, Coach Brooks was on the Olympic hockey team. But a week before the games, his coach cuts him and sends him home. And that team went on to win the gold medal without him.
Herb Brooks had given up his dream of Olympic glory. until 20 ordinary kids.
Why'd you want to play hockey?
Isn't it obvious? For the girls?
Gave him a second chance.
The Soviets win. My goal is to beat them at their own game.
Beat the best team in the world.
Gold medalists in 64, 68, 72, 76.
Name?
Mark Johnson.
Buzzy Schneider.
Mike Ruzioni.
You're missing some of the best players.
I'm not looking for the best players, Craig. I'm looking for the right ones.
They were bitter rivals.
A lot of guys from Minnesota and Boston.
Yeah, that's gonna work.
But one coach had a plan to turn them into a team.
I got no time for quitters.
You want me to play, huh?
I want you to be a hockey player!
I am a hockey player!
Think that'll get them going?
Oh, yeah.
When you face the impossible...
Russia's main weapon is intimidation.
These guys ever smile?
They're Russians. They get shot if they smile.
And you refuse to give up.
I didn't think it was gonna be this hard.
Yeah, you did.
We start becoming a team right now.
Miracles can happen.
When you pull on that jersey, the name on the front is more important than the one on the back.
Michael Ruggioni.
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
Welcome to the Olympics, gentlemen.
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
This is something that this country is ready for.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9, but not this game.
Listen to it. We can beat these guys.
Discover the story.
This is your time.
Behind the greatest moment in sports history.
Believe it not, hope yet!
Okay, what about that one? Fellowship. Give me another better word. Unity, teamwork. I was looking for teamwork. Becoming a team. A bunch of individuals becoming one and working as one unit to accomplish something. What else? Belief. Okay. Faith. Honor. Yeah, we're going to see another great example of that here coming up. Determination. What? Yeah. That's outstanding. Unity. Prepping. Getting ready, preparing, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Courage. Pass through the pain and the preparation and the physical, the hurts, and facing a giant, which was the Russian team. They were like a giant to the little American team. The American team was given no hope that year. All right, good. Now I got the next clip about some young boys who, the town, the poorest town, they say, in America, and these are boys that get up, go work in the fields, run from the fields to school, go to school, leave the school, run back to the fields to pick crops. They're nobodies. The world doesn't see them, doesn't care about them.
Welcome to McFarland. This is a farming town. These kids working here are invisible. They come from the fields, and they go back to the fields. Mr. White, if we're going to reach them, now's the time.
Coach White, your new PE teacher.
Diaz. Popular name where you guys come from?
White. Is that a popular name where you come from?
All right, run a lap. Go.
They're fast.
Yeah. Cross-country running. California is holding their first state championship this year.
You do understand we don't have a cross-country team?
Yep.
You've coached cross-country before?
No.
You competed in high school, maybe?
No.
Well, you sound perfect.
Anybody seen Danny?
Danny Diaz?
Hey, we needed 7.
Yeah, 7 runners, not 6 runners and Danny Diaz.
Hey, you're our anchor, Danny, and not because you're fat. And you are a little fat, okay? So we better lose some weight. Let's go. Just try and remember, lowest score wins. Fleck off.
We don't got a country club. We don't even got a Kmart.
Didn't know McFarland had a team.
4th place. That's not too shabby.
4th out of 4, also known as last.
Better luck next time, boys.
This is going to come down to which runners can handle the pain.
Let's hit it again.
Mr. White.
Each hour that my boys train with you, they do not work with me. That's food off our table.
No one stays in McFarland unless they have to.
There ain't nothing American dream about this place.
I'm guessing running's the best thing you've got.
Me too.
What's going on?
Team fundraiser.
My boys need new uniforms.
You are a good man, so I'm helping you. Okay, now go shower. Oof.
I'll be honest with you. The odds are stacked against us. You guys are superhuman. There's nothing you can't do with that kind of strength, with that kind of heart. Let's go show them how it's done. Dogs. Trace. Tell your father it was an honor to be invited into his home.
Dad, he said it was an honor to be invited into your home.
Tell him I say thanks.
Okay, what about that one? What? Faith? Determination? I'm looking for one. Heart. We judge people by their heart, not by the color of their skin, their nationality, or their economic background or family. Heart. Heart. God looks at the heart. With God, there is no favoritism. There is no Jew, Gentile. All he loves. Heart. Next one.
Miriam's scared of the water. I don't know how she's going to date a guy in the Coast Guard.
You know, we all get scared out there.
I'm not afraid of the water, Bernie.
It scares me at night, that's all.
You can't see what's underneath.
Just more water.
Station Chatham, you copy? I repeat, conditions hazardous.
We've got an 18-foot fracture in our hull. How do you want us to proceed, over?
You know, they're saying this is going to be the biggest storm that ever hit the East Coast.
It's going to be a hurricane strength in an hour.
Compass point you home.
Why'd you wait so long before you suggested going out on a date?
I just didn't know if you'd be attracted to me.
You know exactly how I pictured you.
Yeah?
Better.
If we make it out alive from the
depths. What's this on the radio? Ship breaking up.
She's a T2 tanker, split right in half.
We got maybe 2-3 hours. And then we sink.
Chief, pick yourself a crew and you assist that ship. You hear?
That's why I signed up. Guess now's my chance.
A man in there don't know what he's doing. He's sending you out to die.
And the Coast Guard, they say you gotta go out. They don't say you gotta come back in.
Gus, did Bernie go out on a rescue? I'm worried about him.
This isn't what any of the other girls do.
So?
No one's getting over the bar in this weather. It's a suicide mission.
Please tell me we're taking that boat to a bigger boat.
Like out there.
The compass is gone!
Please call him back in.
You can't be in here, miss. I need all the help I can get.
You know, we're supposed to get married.
You're gonna come in here scared every time he's out in the water?
Please call them back.
I'm not giving up on him. Not on my watch. He's got his orders. Get her out of here.
You're sending him out to die.
Brace yourselves.
What do you see there? Courage, definitely. Sacrifice. Dedication. See, they're coming now, aren't they? Here's where we see the honor. Those men, those Coast Guard men, going into hurricane force ocean weather, and a little boat, didn't know the men that were on that frigate at all, but they were willing to risk their lives to go save them. Now the last one, story of 5 missionary men who went to reach a tribe of people who had never been reached before because everyone that had tried to reach them was slaughtered, killed by this tribe. These five missionary men go in, showing great courage, great faith, love, to reach these people with the gospel. They're killed, they're slaughtered. And then the wives and their children show the same courage and faith and love and forgiveness, because they go in to reach that tribe with the gospel.
We have one chance to reach these people.
No one's ever made contact with these people and lived to talk about it.
Daddy loves you.
Gentlemen, we got company.
So far, we found four of them.
Whose father was murdered, meets the man that murdered his father. I'll talk more about that at the end of the sermon. I am going to, like I said, I think this sermon is a defining moment for us as a church. And I knew it was going to be tight time-wise this morning, starting it off with a baptism. But I thought it was the perfect way to start this Sunday off, because I wasn't going to push them to back to next week. But I thought, this is our defining sermon. This is our moment where we all have to make a choice. And what's on the line in this moment are people's lives, their very souls, two that have been saved and have joined us. I am going to go over today, probably about 10, 15 minutes. I beg your patience with me. But I need to make sure the two verses we're going to go over are understood today. What we see in those clips, the last one, it was Christian-based, but the other four were not. I don't know if those people were believers in those. Doesn't matter. There was greatness shown. There was good. All the things we listed, all those words that were called out, those descriptions. Where does that goodness come from? From sinful human beings. Marred by sin, none of us are perfect, but those good qualities, where do they come from? Inside of humanity. Go to the next verse, please. Right there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All those words we described, what we saw on the screen, the emotions, the feelings, all those beautiful words you guys cried out, all those words can be directly taken back to describe God. And definitely describe Jesus Christ in the flesh and what he did for us. All that, the courage, the honor, the sacrifice, the perseverance, everything. What we see in humanity is what our Creator is. And so, yeah, those things are a part of us. He designed us in His image. Now, my question for us is, if the unbelieving world can demonstrate at moments, and it's just at moments, it's not full time, but at moments, the greatness of God, how much more should the believers, those who are equipped with the Holy Spirit, those who Christ is now living in, how much more should we show it? Thank you. How much more should we show it? What we see in those movie clips, the things we see in those true stories that inspire us, are the great qualities of God showing forth in His creation. And as Christians, we have the ability more than anyone else in this world to show those great things, to allow God to fully live in us and through us. And that is what the Apostle Paul is calling us to do today in Romans 12, verse 1. So take your Bibles and let's go there. He says, I beseech you. He starts it out, I beseech you. It's a plea, it's a call to come alongside Paul, to join Paul in his effort of taking the good news, the truth of God, to a lost and dying world. He says, I beseech you, I call you alongside to help, to do your part in God's plan. I beseech you, therefore. He's doing this because therefore connects us. Why do we have this call? Why should we do this? He says, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore ties to the verse he just spoke, which was the last verse of last week, Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. For all that he has done, for all that we are because of him, we come alongside Paul. We should take our place in God's divine plan to do our part. And what does that mean? What is the requirement there for us to do our part? Well, let's go back to Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Everything Paul has been laying out in the last 11 chapters, God's love, His grace, His righteousness, His forgiveness, His salvation, His love, everything that He has done for us and given to us. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Old Testament required sacrifice. The Old Testament required a sinful person to be in the relationship with God, to have His forgiveness, is to bring a little lamb before, and that animal would be sacrificed, it would be killed, and then the body consumed, where there was nothing left of the sacrifice. Complete, total destruction of the lamb. Jesus Christ put to end the sacrificial system. When He came and presented Himself as a living sacrifice, as He lived a life that was subject to the will of the Father. And then He went beyond a living sacrifice and gave Himself up as the Lamb of God, the complete sacrifice, perfect, blameless, spotless.